Hey, good morning and welcome. Glad you're here. Hey, I want to do something. I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. And at all of our locations, wherever you're tuning in at, I want you to raise your hand. Or if you're joining online, you can type in the chat. Yeah, that's me. Or I would do that. Something along those lines. But I'm going to make a statement and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if that's true of you. Raise your hand if you would say hi to a stranger. Raise your hand. Okay? Good, all right? Some of you guys are like, no, stranger danger, nothing at all, never. Okay, raise your hand. We're going to go a step further. Raise your hand if you would talk to a stranger, like you would be the one to start a conversation with a stranger. Okay, these are all the extroverts and social butterflies in the room. They're like, the three-minute rule comes at the end of the service, they're like rubbing their hands, ready to go. All right, raise your hand if you would go on a date with a stranger, right? Oh, somebody yelled out, nope. Okay. All right. How many of you would co-sign for a car loan with a stranger? No? Nobody? Okay. All right. All right. Last one. How many of you would marry a stranger? Nobody. Yeah, if you're not going on a date, you're definitely not going to marry them, right? Oh, man. Yeah. You know, because it takes more trust to partner your life with a person than it does to say hi to them or to strike up a conversation with them. And so how do you get to that place of trust? What's the hinge point for that? And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's knowing the person. The more you know a person, the more likely or more willing, if they've shown themselves to be, you'll trust them, right? So if you know them well, you'll trust them more if you know them. And so in order to trust a person, you really have to be able to know that person. My question is this: how much do you trust the Holy Spirit? And perhaps the question behind that question is actually, how well do you know the Holy Spirit to even be able to trust him? That's what we're talking about today. And what I want to do today is I want to show you from the Bible who the Holy Spirit is. I want to talk to you about how you can know him. And I'm going to invite you to make one decision today that can actually move you in that direction. So if you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to Hebrews chapter 9. But I'd also like you to find the Gospel of John chapter 14. We're going to start in Hebrews 9. We're going to make our way over to John 14. While you're finding Hebrews, both those are in the New Testament, by the way. While you're finding Hebrews 9 and John 14. I do want to welcome you. Thanks for coming to Lighthouse today. My name's Fritz. I'm one of the pastors. I'm so glad everybody's here. I especially want to welcome all of our guests for being here with us today. We're really glad that you've joined us. I want to welcome those who are joining at Lighthouse Online. Maybe you're in Hancock County. Maybe you're somewhere else. We're really glad you're a part of the family. And then the last group we want to welcome is joining us this morning. All the way about 20 miles south of us is Bluffton Community. Can you guys here in the house let Bluffton know that we love them and they're glad they're with us today? Yes, very good. Hey, we are starting a new series today called The Holy Spirit, God in Us. And for the next 6 weeks, we want to help you discover more of the person of the Holy Spirit. And what we're doing is it's not so much a didactic walkthrough of, you know, the Holy Spirit is this and the Holy Spirit does that, but we're actually using a biographical approach. And so here's what I mean by that. We're actually going to be journeying through the timeline of Scripture and looking at how the Holy Spirit has acted at different times in history and in the Scripture. And so next week, we're actually going to be looking at the Holy Spirit in creation. Week 3 will be the Holy Spirit speaking through the Old Testament prophets. Week 4, the life of Jesus. Week 5, the Pentecost, and then the last week is the church all the way up to today. And then this morning, we're just starting with before everything even was, right? We're beginning with before the beginning. And so I'm hoping today is going to be really, really helpful to set the tone for the rest of our series. So before we go any further, let's do this. Let's take a moment and bow our heads and pray together. Lord, transparently before you and my family today, I really enjoyed that time of silence, just being before you silently, not needing to do anything, not bringing any value in the moment, not performing, not doing anything, and knowing that I am deeply loved in Christ for that reason alone. And so thank you for that. My prayer is that as we look in the scriptures, as we talk about truth today, that you would help us to know you more clearly and then to trust you in very real ways in our lives. And so would you lead us to that place today, I pray. And we ask these things in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so here's the first thing that I want to bring forward about when we ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? The first truth that's really clear is this, is that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. If you have Hebrews chapter 9 already opened up and ready to go, or maybe you have it on your phone, we're kind of jumping into a middle of a conversation that the writer is having about the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice. But I want to start with verse 14, and I'll tell you why in just a second. It reads this way. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? And I want you to zone in right there in the middle of verse 14 when the writer refers to the Spirit as the eternal Spirit. This is the eternal Spirit. And this is one of the passages that so clearly points to the reality that the Holy Spirit is God. He is not some creation after the fact. He is not some presence. He is not some energy. He is not some force. He is the eternal God himself. In fact, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit and we're talking about him being God, we're really easily crossing over into what's known as the Trinity, right? And the Trinity is the reality that there is one God and he is one. That's true. And this one God is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then here's the last part. Each person is fully God, right? So it's not like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are each one-third of God, and together, like Voltron, they come together and they fully, you know, complete God. Nothing along those lines. It's that the Father is completely God, Jesus is completely God, and the Holy Spirit is completely God. And yet there is one God in three persons, and each person is fully God, which includes the Holy Spirit. That's very important to understand, because somewhere along the line, it's seen as the Father is God and Jesus is God. And then there's the Holy Spirit over there. He does stuff. But he's God. He is God in every sense of the word. In Acts chapter 5, the church is just getting ready. It's just getting started. And what happens is people start bringing offerings to the church to help support the ministry that's going on. And there's this moment where a husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira, they bring an offering, but they hold some of it back. But the claim they make is, no, this is all of it. This is everything. We're giving everything to Jesus. But they hold a portion back. And this is what Peter says. Peter says, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? And then look at verse 4. So he says, Peter says, listen, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Remember that. Now the next verse says this. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to... Verse 3, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, you've lied to God. For Peter, there is no differentiation between the Father and the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is God. It's not like he's some lesser version. He's off to the side. The Holy Spirit is God. It's so clear. After Jesus dies and then he resurrects from the dead, but before he ascends to the Father, in Matthew 28, he gives the disciples some instructions that he says, go make disciples of all nations. And then he says this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the all equally in place. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus understood in that there's not varying levels, there's not varying degrees. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the apostle Paul was writing a letter to some believers, and in it he says this. Again, you have this equality between the three persons. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And so when you look at the Bible, there are no varying degrees that somehow the Father is more God than the Son and the Holy Spirit, or vice versa. Each person is fully God, which means the Holy Spirit is God in every sense of the word. The same worship that is due the Father and that is due the Son is due the Holy Spirit, because He is God Himself. And so it's clear that the Holy Spirit is God. So I have a question for you, just a thought. Is God a person? I don't mean, is He a human, but is God a person? The answer is yes. Right? God, yeah, God is a person. Jesus is a person. And you know what that means? The Holy Spirit is a person. That's important to understand. That's the second truth you've really got to dial in on. The Holy Spirit, not only is He God, but He's also a person. What's very interesting is that over 50% of people who call themselves Christians actually think that the Holy Spirit is a force or some kind of symbol that simply represents God. Right? And so what that would mean here at Lighthouse is right here down the middle, this group, right, that you're closest to the exit, you're like, the Holy Spirit is God for sure, without a doubt. And over here, you're going, He's just like a force. He's just a symbol, right? And if you're in Bluffton, right, that aisle right down the middle of the worship center, one half would say, I don't know really who the Holy Spirit is. The other half would say, He's God. Without a doubt, He's God. 50%, over 50%. Think the Holy Spirit, like that the Holy Spirit is like gravity. He's just this principle, this force that's out there. Or maybe that the Holy Spirit is like the background operating system on your tablet or your computer. He's always running in the background, but that's really about it. It's just a principle. It's just a force that's out there. But you have to understand, whenever Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, He always talked about Him as a person. Always a person. He says things like this. He goes, I'm going to send you a paraclete. And a paraclete, and that's a Greek word, that was a person in Jesus' time who was like kind of like a lawyer, like a counselor, like a guide who would come alongside of you and walk you through situations and how to understand them. That's a person. Jesus said, listen, when I ascend, I'm going to send you another person, right? Not a force. Not a principle, not a law, but I'm going to send you a person. When you look through the scriptures in the New Testament, even the Old Testament, you begin to see that the Holy Spirit has feelings. He maintains relationship. He has a will. He has agency. All of these things are true. So, like, here's just a list of some of the things you would find in the scriptures. Like in John chapter 14, verse 26, He teaches. Right? He teaches us truth. He leads us into truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, He actually chooses which spiritual gifts you have. Do you know they're not even yours? They belong to the Spirit, and He gives them to you when He wants to give them to you, and He'll actually give them to other people when He wants to give them to them. He chooses who gets those spiritual gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says that He can be grieved. Have you ever been grieved? Have you ever had a situation, you ever had a person grieve you, bring you to the point of grieving, where you're saddened, where you're weeping? This is the sign of a broken heart when somebody is grieved. And what is it that breaks the heart of the Holy Spirit? Well, Ephesians 4:30 tells us it's sin. It breaks His heart. It grieves Him when I pursue sin over trust in Him, and in Jesus, and in the Father. He's a person who can be grieved. Romans 8:26 says He helps. When you're in times of temptation, He will help you. People help one another, right? He convinces in John chapter 16, verse 8, he convinces you of your sin. He convinces you of righteousness, right? He convinces you of judgment. This is what he does because he is a person. The Holy Spirit has been in relationship with the Father and the Son for all of eternity. I'm going to let you in on something that you may or may not realize. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He didn't create the universe because he was bored or he needed somebody to love him or to glorify him. He has been in an eternal relationship with himself through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And quite frankly, I think I could make the claim, things were pretty great until we showed up, right? Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a person. He's God. And so if he's God, and if he's a person, well, now what? What do we do with that? Right? What does that mean for us? Well, what do you do with any person? You get to know them. Right? You get to know them. You get to know them. So I think what the scripture is inviting us to do, especially here today, at Bluffton Community today, it's get to know the Holy Spirit. Get to know him. Get to know the Holy Spirit. And here's what I would clarify. Get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to, you know, only get his stuff. Here's what I mean. So before I came to faith in Jesus, and even after I came to faith in Jesus, I didn't even really know there was a Holy Spirit. I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't know anything. I didn't know. And so, you know, I started going to church and, you know, reading my Bible and learning things about God, and I would hear people talk about the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times when they would talk about the Holy Spirit, they would talk about his power. And they would talk about his gifts. And they would talk about his miracles. And they would talk about his understanding. And they would talk about his abilities. They seemed to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit's stuff and what he had to offer us. And when I read what Jesus has to say about the Holy Spirit, he talks about the Holy Spirit not as a spiritual vending machine where we get whatever we want for that moment that helps us do whatever it is that we want to do in that moment. But in places like John chapter 14, verse 16, if you got it there, go ahead and flip over there. Actually, here's what we're going to do. At all of our locations, let's read this passage out loud together, beginning with, "And I will ask the Father." Are you ready? Go. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." This is how how Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit. He says, "I'm going to send another person to you, and he is going to help you. But I want you to notice what he says at the end. He's going to be with you forever." The Holy Spirit is going to be with you forever. Listen, Jesus knows the Holy Spirit deeply. Right? He knows the Holy Spirit. And Jesus wants you to know the Holy Spirit deeply too. Not just as a giver of things, but as the person of God. And so how do we do that? Two thoughts very quickly. How do you get to know the Holy Spirit? The first is this: you have to receive him. You have to receive him. Now, right, the question then is, well, how do I receive him? How do I get the Holy Spirit? Well, thankfully, the Apostle Paul gives us some insight into that. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, he writes this. He asks a question. It's kind of this question where he's setting up the answer. He's not really going like, well, I don't know. How did it happen? Was it this or was it this? Right? It's kind of like a rhetorical question. If you answer it, you missed the point of the question, right? So he says, listen, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? And the answer is, the way you receive the Spirit is by believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You believe that Jesus is who he says he is. He did die on the cross for all of your sin. He did raise from the dead, which gives you hope and victory over sin and death today. He did ascend to the Father. And by believing that, that's how you receive the Holy Spirit. There's no extra work for you to do that if somehow you can get saved and not have the Holy Spirit enter into your life. Right? The moment you believe, this is important for many of you to hear, the only way that you can receive the Holy Spirit is through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other way to receive or to get the Holy Spirit. It's only by faith. And the Holy Spirit enters into your life the very moment you believe in Him. There is not some code you have to punch in later to get the Holy Spirit to show up in your life, or if somehow you don't get all of the Holy Spirit the moment that you come to faith. When you genuinely put your faith in Jesus, He comes into your life. In fact, the Holy Spirit in you is confirmation that you have been born again. Here's the scary part. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says that if the Holy Spirit is not living in you, you're still spiritually dead. It does not matter how often you go to church. It does not matter whether you recited the sinner's prayer verbatim. It does not matter how many scripture passages you have memorized. If the Spirit of God is not alive in you, you are spiritually dead. That's important to know. And so you have to receive Him. And you only receive Him through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So how do you get to know the Holy Spirit? Well, first, He has to be living in you. You have to receive Him. But here's the other way. Just like anybody else, you need to find out who He is. Right? You need to find out who He is. You need to get to know who He is. Now, here's a real shocker. If you've been to Lighthouse Community before, and we go, hey, how do you get, what's the best way to get to know who God is? The answer is, yeah, oh, you've been here before. Great. Right? Yeah. Read your Bible. You are not going to find better information about the Holy Spirit in any other place than the Scriptures. Nobody will reveal the Holy Spirit more clearly than Jesus has, and the way the Holy Spirit will reveal Himself to you. And so the best place for you to get to know Him is to read the Bible. Now, one of the challenges about getting to know the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures is there's not really like one big place where the Holy Spirit is just drilled down on in Scripture. Actually, it's spread out all throughout Scripture that as you're reading, truth about Him just pops up. And when you see it, you can't unsee it. But there is one place where Jesus has a really intentional discussion about the person of the Holy Spirit. It's actually found in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. This is the longest discourse you can find anywhere in the Scripture that is consistently talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. And so if you want to get kind of like a 101 of who the Holy Spirit is from Jesus, I would start in John chapter 14 through 16. And in fact, that blue card that was mentioned earlier in the service, if you pull that out, flip it over, look at the back, there's actually a next step on the back there that says, I'm going to be reading John 14 through 16 this week to learn more about the Holy Spirit. That would be a great next step for many of us to take and to simply see what does Jesus have to say about who the Holy Spirit is. And so, spend time reading your Bible. The other next step I would encourage you to take is the one that's right below it that says, I'm coming back for the rest of the Holy Spirit series. And so what we're going to be simply doing is we're going to be reading through Scripture and pointing to places where we're seeing the Holy Spirit actively at work, and then go, okay, this is who He is. Look what He has done. Look what He's like. Look what He loves. Look what He can't stand, right? All of those types of things so that we'll be able to know Him more and more. And so I really want to encourage you, get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Don't focus only on His stuff. Focus on Him as a person and get to know Him, right? Why? Why would I spend time getting to know the person of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to your life. Let me say that again because that's very, very important. The Holy Spirit is absolutely essential to to your life. There are far too many people that actually think the Holy Spirit is optional, and he's not. He's absolutely essential to every aspect of your spiritual life, your relationship with Jesus, your growth and walk as a Christian. You need the Holy Spirit for every aspect of your Christian life. You actually need the Holy Spirit simply to open up your eyes to the reality of who Jesus is, right? Like places in 1 Corinthians says, nobody can say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit empowers them to do it. And it means nobody can see him clearly as Lord until the Holy Spirit helps us. You need the Holy Spirit to actually guide you in understanding and believing truth from Scripture. That's one of the things that he does, right? He actually empowers you to understand and to believe that this is true. You need the Holy Spirit to transform your life away from self-directed living and towards living a God-reliant life. You can't do that on your own. You need the ministry of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You need to know him. You need to trust him as a person. You need the Holy Spirit to empower you for ministry and sharing the gospel, right? You think any of our ministry that happens here or happens in your community is simply because you thought it was a good idea? And you're that awesome? You're not. And neither am I. That's the Holy Spirit at work in you. That's the Holy Spirit at work in me. You need him to carry out that ministry. You need the Holy Spirit to have the hope of heaven and assurance of your faith. If you don't sense the Spirit of God living in you, this is so critical. There's no substitute. There's no counterfeit that can make up for that. See, some of you, you're listening right now and you're going, I have no idea what he's talking about right now. And if that's you, I'm going to be really, as your pastor, you need to hear this. I am nervous for you. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, of sensing the Spirit of God in your life, Scripture would say, you should be nervous. But others of you, you're going, I know exactly what that guy's talking about. When he says sensing the Spirit of God in my life, I get it. And when you think about that, it brings you hope and it brings you joy. And you know you belong to him. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 will explain this. It says, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. What was the response to that? When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit, his witness inside of you, is a guarantee that you belong to him. He brings the hope of eternity in heaven with God. That's what seals the deal. And he comes to those who have genuinely believed. Just listen, I know people in this room, they're like, I know I need God the Father, and I know I need God the Son. You also need God the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He is absolutely essential to your life. In fact, Jesus died, Jesus rose, and Jesus ascended to the Father so that you could have the Holy Spirit and that you could get to know him in your life. Please, please, please get to know the Holy Spirit. Now, I very first met my wife, Christina, at a Bible study. That was the first place we ever met. Before then, she was a stranger to me. I didn't know her. I didn't know her at all. But after one group, I wanted to know her, right? But up until then, right, we were strangers. And so what did I do? I said hi to that stranger. because there's no way she was going to say hi to me. So I went and said hi to her. And I started a conversation with this stranger. I went out on a date with this stranger. And then a few years later, I got married. She was less of a stranger then, right? But we got married. And I think this summer, it'll be like 22 years that we'll have been... Okay, she gave me the nod. I knew that. I didn't, but thank you. It'll be 22 years that we've been together. And we've done all kinds of things, like co-sign for loans together and made children, all that stuff. Why? Why? Because I got to know her. And the more I got to know her, the more I trusted her. And the more I trusted her, I knew I wanted to spend my whole life with her, with this other person. What's interesting is the longer that I've been with her, the more I've gotten to know her, the more I've trusted her. What's very, very interesting is her character is actually being seen in me the longer we're together. See, she has some pretty remarkable character qualities that when we first got married, I had none of them. But yet the longer we've walked together, the longer we've lived together, the longer we've trusted one another, the more those qualities have actually started to show up in my life because of spending time with her. That's a really rude picture of what it looks like the more you know the Holy Spirit. The more you know him, the more you will trust him. The more you trust him, the more you will see the character of the Holy Spirit showing up in your life. Some of you, that word seems really weird. The character of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Some of you are more familiar with fruit. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's his character. It's the character of Jesus Christ. It's all the same. But the more you know him, the more you trust him, the more you start seeing his character show up in your life, and the more you will be changed. Now, I get it. Some of you, you heard, man, they're doing they're doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And when you found out about that, you're like, awesome. I'm so excited. I can't wait for this thing to get going. I welcome this topic to be talked about. That's some of you. But then others of you, you got a little nervous because actually what you have done is you have intentionally ignored the purpose and the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit because people have told you to. You've actually resisted him. And the reason you've done this, I'm not saying you've done it, you know, with no reason, but you've done it because you've seen situations where the ministry of the Holy Spirit has been misused. You've seen things attributed to the Holy Spirit, which might not actually be belonging to him. You've seen people do what I would say, overindulge in the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so for you, you've made the decision long ago to resist and to push away. And anything that smells like that at all is not of God. And I want to tell you, that's not true. You've overcorrected too far to the point where you're resisting him. But then there's a whole nother group, and I actually think this is the largest group at both of our locations, and most people who are joining online, the largest group is actually this group. You don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. You're not excited about him. You're not resistant to him. You don't know anything. You know what you're like? You're like the Corinthians in Acts chapter 19 when they come and say, hey, did you receive the Spirit? And they go, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. What? What do you mean? Right? And so they begin to lead him into that ministry and that understanding of who he is. That's actually where most of us in this room and at Bluffton and online are. You're going, this is new. I'm open, teach me. I don't know anything about it. We want to help you learn how to know the Holy Spirit so that you can learn how to trust the Holy Spirit every day of your life because that's how you're designed to live. The Holy Spirit is a gift from Jesus to help you and to be with you forever. That's who he is. I want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes and ask Jesus. You know, actually, we're going to ask the Spirit. Ask this question. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? And I just want you to listen to him for a moment. Holy Spirit, my prayer would be that you would make your presence so clearly known today that people who you are already residing within, this would be just another joyous reminder that you're here with us and you're living inside of us. But I also pray that you would make yourself apparent to those who are going, I don't even have a reference point for this. And I pray that you would open their eyes to the reality that we are only saved by faith through grace of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. It's because of his work. It's because of his death, his resurrection, all of it. And our trust in that and in him that actually welcomes the person of the Holy Spirit into our life. So would you open our eyes to that? And would you cause some people who maybe have spent the last 6 months or 5 years or four decades living the absolute best religious lives they know how to live, but today would be their first day of new life in faith in Jesus Christ that's prompted by the Spirit? I pray for that today. May you lead us to that place.